Welcome to Step Into Magic, your weekly online radio show on how to develop your psychic ability, deepen your spirituality, and find your own true purpose, presented by acclaimed medical intuitive, Josephine Lang. This broadcast is a part of the Wisdom and Intuition Network at metaphysicalwisdom.com. This is Anthony Taylor, your host, and on behalf of Josephine, I'll be taking your calls and questions. This week's topic is the many benefits of meditation. For those of you who are new to our show, Josephine has been a clairvoyant healer for more than 25 years. During that time, she's helped thousands of people from around the world to heal from hard-to-diagnose and chronic health issues. She has also been a teacher and spiritual mentor for hundreds of people who treasure her insights, courage, and love.
Hello, everyone. It's so nice to know that you're all out there in Radio Land. I had a couple of messages just before the show began tonight, and it warms my heart. I really, really appreciate it. It's absolutely lovely. And today I'm going to be sharing with you one of the crowning jewels for a life of grace and ease, and that is the refreshing practice of meditation. Meditation brings us so many gifts, including extraordinary benefits to our health. And it also really engages our capacity to listen to our higher self. But before I go into this topic in any detail, I always like to begin our show with a spiritual agreement. And this, as many of you know, was a gift from our friend and mentor, Jana Massey. And it goes like this, and I ask you all to please join in this agreement with me, if you will. Together we acknowledge that everything that we think, that we say, and that we do at this time will be of the highest good, and together we ask for truth, the understanding of that truth, and the wisdom to use it in our lives. Can you all agree?
I do.
Thank you, Tony.
Josephine, we received many messages of support from our listeners last week.
Oh, great.
Just read a few.
Okay.
A listener in Arroyo Grande writes, "Josephine, your radio interview contained such provocative thoughts, and you have a terrific musical laugh."
Oh,
isn't that nice?
Wonderful.
And another listener from Watsonville writes, "Hi, dearest person on the planet, exclamation mark. The show was filled with information, and when Tony said, 'Josephine, I know you hate it when I say it, but the time has gone,' I think I said aloud, really loud, 'What?' I was completely shocked that the hour had gone by. Darn, now we have to wait another week. I can hardly believe it. Many, many blessings."
Oh.
And another listener from the Bay Area writes, "I'm listening to last week's show as I eat breakfast. You and Tony are going through your list. Number 9 is do what you love. At least once a day, do what you love. And here I am, doing what I love, listening to Step Into Magic. I felt so full of love as you read number 9 that I just had to tell you thank you."
Oh,
wow, isn't that fantastic?
That's wonderful. Thank you, everyone, for these really lovely letters. They bring such a big smile to my face, and I'm so grateful. So speaking of self-love, Tony, I remember that we did that exercise last week, and you were going to go ahead and try to experiment with looking in the mirror, looking into your own eyes, and saying, "I love you." How did that go for you?
Well, I'll have to be honest, it was a bit of a challenge. I did do it, but I didn't get on that well with it. The first time I tried it, it was pretty early in the morning. I was pretty tired. I remember looking at my face in the mirror thinking, "God, who is that sad person looking at me, looking tired and wrinkled, and can I really love that?"
Absolutely.
So I struggled. I tried to say the words, and they came out as a bit of a whisper.
Oh, yeah.
And I wasn't sure I really believed them. So
I
think it brought up a lot of issues.
Oh, it always does.
I was starting to think of the things that I didn't like about myself instead of the things that I did.
Yeah.
But I did try it again, and the next time it was better. I remember looking and thinking, "Oh, there's actually quite a nice energy emanating." It was later in the day, actually, emanating from the person looking back at me in the mirror.
There is a very nice energy there.
So it's a work in progress, and I'll have to keep working at this one.
Yeah, well, that really is the foundation, that being able to love the self. And so I really honor your sharing on such a deep level here, because it's a vulnerable thing to do, to be honest about how difficult that was. And you're not alone. It's often difficult for most people when they first get started with this exercise. But it's such a very, very important one, and it really is the foundation of our spirituality, to be able to look at and acknowledge our divinity. I have a new friend who has had a near-death experience where she was able to see herself as a part of that divinity, you know, one drop in the ocean of the divine. And so being able to love ourselves is really at the root of our spirituality as well. It's not at all selfishness. It's about actually helping us to move more aptly into that place of our own version of the divine. It actually lets us, it's like coming from the boundary into the boundarylessness. It's sort of similar to that. It's like coming into that open, big part of ourselves, the greater part of ourselves. So congratulations on getting started on that.
It's very interesting because I think I find it much easier to see the divine in other people, and you know, more of a challenge, I think, for me to see it myself.
Yeah, yeah, you're not alone, but it's time well spent.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard for me when I first began, too. I had so much conditions to, you know, so many conditions to my ability to love myself. It was always, you know, if I accomplished this goal or did that thing or changed this or that about myself.
I think that's what I was suffering from, really.
Mm-hmm.
I began to see the things that I wasn't so happy with.
Yeah, yeah. So keep it up. Keep trying. Pretty soon we'll be
Will
able
do.
To dance and say, you know, I love you. Give yourself a big kiss.
I look forward to that day.
It's not too far off, really. The more you practice, the better you get at it.
Okay.
So today's topic, meditation. Oh, yum, yum, yum. This is one of my favorite topics, and I'm so glad to be able to share it with you. And, you know, beginners and old-timers alike, you know, we all, those of us who are just new to starting with meditation and those of us who have been at it for a long time, it's always so nice to share about this topic and to just look, take a look at it and some of the different angles to it. I've been meditating for at least 25 years on a pretty much daily basis, and I absolutely love it. It is something that I got started doing before I became a medical intuitive, and I really feel that it really helped me to develop my psychic skill. It's one of the cornerstones that I consider for a self-actualized life, really, if we work with that base foundation of self-love, and then we do our dream interpretation so that we can keep in touch with our subconscious mind and our higher self inspirations. And if we do our meditation so that we can clear the mind to allow a little breathing room for our higher self to give us information. And then if we can work with prayer and open ourselves to really listening to the divine in our lives and connecting with that aspect of ourselves, as well as having a place of sanctuary, a place where we can really settle in and do our deep inner work, then that really helps us to create a self-actualized life. And from that point, we really engage that great triple blessing, which is how we can deepen our spirituality and open to our psychic ability and find our life's true purpose. So it's a really wonderful part. Meditation is a real foundational piece to this whole picture of really creating a life that we love. And as a result of my, you know, 25 years of meditating, I've begun to be able to, in the last, I don't know, maybe 5 or 10 years, to really be in a place of watching my thoughts all day long so that I really notice what thoughts I'm thinking. And if they are productive thoughts or if they're not so productive, if they're fear-based. And from that place, I can really begin to work with myself so that it's not my mind or my history controlling my life, but I come into a more creative state, which is part of that higher self experience, really owning and accepting our own portion of divinity to become creative with our lives in the way of the highest good for all. So it's a really beautiful thing to be able to get to a point where you are observing your thoughts all day long and listening for your higher self inspirations and opening up to your psychic ability in that regard. And it really helps us when we get these little openings in our daily, you know, mind chatter, that monkey mind that's constantly going on. The more we meditate, the more we are able to sort of part that chatter and quiet it and let our minds come around to a more wholesome and healthy thoughts. then also, too, to just have little spaces between the thoughts. It's a really beautiful thing to be able to do, and it really helps to reduce the stress in our lives. We become progressively more and more stress-free. Less chatter, less worry. It's a really nice thing. So maybe you can show that first slide, which is the quote from Ringo Starr there.
Certainly.
I love this. It's so Ringo. He says, at the end of the day, I can end up just totally wacky because I've made mountains out of molehills. With meditation, I can keep them as molehills. Isn't that great?
That's fantastic, yeah.
It really is. And one of the, I started my meditation practice shortly before I had a very large pelvis back injury. And there was a meditating group at Coalesce Chapel, our local bookstore in Morro Bay here. In the back of the bookstore, they have a little chapel for non-denominational, weddings and other things. And, you know, whatever anybody wants to do that's of a sort of a spiritual nature. And so a meditation group started there on Tuesday afternoons. And I would drive out there and we would sit in meditation for an hour. And I had never experienced really anything quite like that before, to just sit in silence with a group of people. And it was there that I met some of my oldest and dearest and long-lived friends, and now one is in the East Coast and several are still here on the West Coast. But it was such a joy for me to make those deep connections at a time in my life when my circle of friends was really changing, because I was going from, you know, that sort of gardener person that I was, that persona, into a new persona, which, you know, our lives do change. We do sort of change our careers from time to time throughout the course of our lives. And this was during a time of shift. And so I met these new friends then. And it was a really wonderful thing to share in this experience of just sitting in quiet meditation with them. And one of the things that I learned from that group was about walking meditation. And in part, also, too, while I was sitting in the circle meditating, I had some images that just came to me. I had injured my, you know, lower spine quite profoundly, the pelvis and the tailbone and the low back. And that's in the area of the root chakra, that red chakra that's at our base as our foundation. And, you know, those lower three chakras are very important for us to have those all dialed in and taken care of in order for us to really move up to the heart center and then up to those higher chakras where we do our more spiritual work. If we don't have our foundation under us, it's really pretty serious. We can't really access that upper work as easily and do it as thoroughly or completely. So when this red bull appeared to me in my meditation there at Coalesce Chapel, I thought, wow, what's this about? He was pretty angry, and he was kind of small, and he had a little ring in his nose. And I thought, what is this about? And that started me on the whole adventure of looking into the chakras. And from there, I had heard about one of the meditators in the group told me about a walking meditation for pain, because I was in quite a bit of pain. And I shared, you know, in the group afterwards about, well, here's this red bull. You know, what do I do with that information? They said, well, that's probably representative of the root chakra, being as the color is red. And, you know, one of the things that people can do is to walk and meditate, and also to imagine their area of pain, the color there, to let that color get really big, and then to let it get small. And so I practiced that as a walking meditation. That was one of my early meditations. And I invite you all to work on this or to explore with it and to play with it a little bit, because I found it to be remarkably helpful for reducing my pain. So as I would walk, I would imagine this red ball down in my lower chakra, but you would imagine a color, whichever color would be appropriate for you, in whatever area of your body that you might have some pain. So you can kind of look at this upon as this is like a little homework assignment or a little exploration, if you like. And I would imagine this ball at first about the size of a tennis ball. And then as I was walking, I would let it get progressively bigger and bigger, about the size of a basketball, and then maybe about the size of my whole body, and then maybe about the size of a house, and then perhaps the size of a whole city block, and maybe even the size of the whole state of California. And then I would go ahead and let it kind of come back down in size, and then go back all the way back down to the size of a tennis ball, and then to go even smaller and to get to about the size of a golf ball and then a pea and then all the way down to the size of an atom and then all the way down to the size of almost nothing. And then I would let it come big again. And during that course of that exercise, just allowing that what represented my pain to get really big and to really focus on it and really look at it and then to let it get really small, it had a remarkable freeing effect to the grip that pain had on my consciousness. And it really let me to begin to calm my mind about the pain, and I found that I was able to manage the pain quite well with that exercise.
That sounds very, very useful. I mean, personally, I don't experience much pain, but I'm wondering whether you might be able to apply that to other things as well, like, for example, a worry or something like that. You know,
absolutely.
Really big. Really,
yeah.
You loosen the grip.
Absolutely, and I'm so glad to say that I don't experience any pain in my body either. I feel very, very fortunate given the quantity and quality of injuries I've had.
Yes.
I feel really, really so blessed about that. Perhaps you could show that next slide then. This is a slide by Deepak Chopra, a quote of his. And it says, "People think meditation is a huge undertaking. Don't think of it like that." And I think that's really true. I mean, here I was just going out for my walk, you know. And so while I was walking, I was just playing along with this little exercise. So we can really make it be, you know, a very nothing event. Just, you know, no big deal, just meditating. And then also, too, you know, I have a very loose definition of meditation. I consider it meditating if you go out front and put your feet up and have a nice cool drink of iced tea with the dog there sitting by you. And, you know, if you're just sitting alone and just being alone with your thoughts. There's a quote from a friend of mine, a dear young woman who is so wise. And one day when I was asking her, you know, I said, gee, you know, it's kind of nice. I like having no music or anything going on. And she said, you know, it's fine. I love being alone with my thoughts. And I thought, oh, yeah, this is the girl for me. Because it is very nice sometimes to just be alone with our thoughts and to just be in the quiet without so much stimulation. And so in a way, that alone is a meditation right there, just being alone with our thoughts. Because what we're doing there is we are watching our thoughts. We are acknowledging them. We're looking at them. We're letting them be. It's a great little meditation all on its own. So like I say, I have a kind of a loose definition of meditation. Maybe with that we can show this next slide here then.
Certainly.
And this one is a quote from Hugh Jackman, the actor. He said, "Meditation is all about the pursuit of nothingness. It's like the ultimate rest. It's better than the best sleep you've ever had. It's a quieting of the mind. It sharpens everything, especially your appreciation of your surroundings. It keeps life fresh." And I love that, it keeps life fresh, because I look at meditation as a refreshment. To me, it is like that glass of cool, tall glass of iced tea or something. And I look at it as a real gift to myself. So I hope that that happens for you, too, if you experience meditation or take the time to begin playing around with it a little bit if you haven't already. Yeah.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. So moving on to health and the many benefits of meditation, it's just extraordinary how good meditation is for you. So long-term meditation, they've done a lot of research with meditation. It's one of the most researched fields of psychology because people have really woken up to how great it is for us. And so long-term meditators, people who have done it for a long time, turns out that they have a younger psychological age. So it keeps us young in our psychology. Then on the physical body front, it decreases blood pressure. Don't we love that? It also lowers cholesterol, and it lowers the blood sugar levels, the glucose levels in our blood, which is a really wonderful thing. Dr. Dean Ornish, I'm sure you've all heard of him, the famous medical doctor who is the clinical professor of medicine at the University of California at San Francisco. He uses meditation as his main tool for improving coronary artery disease. Isn't that extraordinary?
That is, yeah.
Really wonderful. And then Dr. Jon Kabat-Zinn, the creator of the Stress Reduction Clinic at the University of Massachusetts Medical School, he teaches mindfulness to his patients to reduce pain. Way to go!
Mm-hmm.
And then meditation increases our concentration. Don't we love that? And our perceptual clarity. You know, so many times I hear complaints from people, oh, I just kind of have a brain fog going on. You know, it's like, oh, how about trying a little meditation? It's really good for concentration and for perceptual clarity. And then, as well, it also increases our sensitivity and our empathy. So that's a really great thing, because that really helps us to get along better with each other and to increase our understanding of each other. If we are more empathetic, we understand each other better. And then meditation also helps us to get in touch with painful memories. As we go into meditation, sometimes we'll remember things from the past. And that is like a golden opportunity for us to work through them. We can move into forgiveness. We can begin to see that the person did the best that they could and given the situation that they were in. Or we can, you know, not condone their behavior, but just let it go and just forgive them and free ourselves that way. So it really, in that regard, really helps us to heal our emotions and our issues. And thus, it's a real catalyst for psychological development. So we see improvement in a variety of psychological areas with meditation as well, like anxiety is reduced. We have lessened addiction problems. Depression is lifted. Eating disorders come to resolve. And cognitive function goes up. And then, as well, meditation quite significantly reduces our stress hormone levels, which increases our stress hardiness, which is great. And then this part I love, because I have some need in this area, which is it increases our short and long-term memory. And then also, and I love this part, it really helps us to become more trusting, and it increases our happiness and our well-being. And that helps us to create better relationships in our lives. Isn't that just fabulous?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, about becoming more trusting, you know, it's not so much what has happened to us in life, it's what we do with what has happened. And so if we can regain trust in situations where we've maybe been hurt before, that's a great thing. So then the meditation also has a tremendous benefit for our brain health. And, you know, we think of the mind, of course, and we often associate the mind with that organ of the brain. And, of course, this is all about mindfulness. This is about watching our thoughts and being aware of what is going on in our mind. And so naturally it only makes sense that meditation would have a good positive effect on our brain health. And what it does is meditation also increases the health of the cells of our body throughout our whole body, but it also changes the cells in our brain. It really increases what they call neuroplasticity, which is the flexibility of our brain, the cells and the organs of our nervous system. So it increases our ability to develop new brain cells throughout life and to recover from injury, which is really great. And then it also increases the health of the neurons in the brain, the actual nerve cells, and those what they call axial connections that affect the neural circuits of the brain. So we can actually make connections between parts of our sensory input and our reaction to that input. And then it really helps us to increase the ability to respond appropriately to situations. So it affects the actual structure of our brains. It makes some areas of the brain thicker and some areas of the brain thinner. So it does that in, you know, in relationship to what would benefit us to have a better functioning brain. So that's pretty great. I mean, talk about your healing energy. Meditation is great for you. And maybe on the last point on health, you could show this slide by Carolyn Murphy.
Certainly.
Thank you, Tony. She's an actress and one of the highest paid models in the world. And she was asked a question by an interviewer, and she answered, "The best anti-aging advice I ever received? Well, that was to drink a lot of water and have a plant-based diet. I also do mindful meditation with my daughter every day. It takes 10 minutes. I think reducing stress plays a big part in anti-aging." And, you know, stress reduction really does slow the aging process. So I just think that's just such an incredible list of benefits. I mean, who wouldn't want to meditate? So I hope it makes you want to meditate, too, if you don't already. And if you do, you know, hooray! Keep at it, because it's so great for you.
Well, it sounds absolutely wonderful, Josephine. I wonder, is there perhaps a really short, very simple meditation you could recommend to get us started?
Oh, yeah. Well, the one that I got started with, which I absolutely love, was Thich Nhat Hanh, who wrote that beautiful book, Being Peace, and he also wrote The Miracle of Mindfulness. He has a lovely little meditation, which is an open-eyed meditation. And we can do it all right now as a little exercise if you'd like.
I'd love to.
Yeah, and it just goes like this. So just get comfortable in your chair and then just listen to the words, and then I'll say them a second time. Breathing in, I calm my body. breathing out, I smile. And we'll do that again. Breathing in, I calm my body. Breathing out, I smile. Isn't that nice?
That is so simple. Oh, I can feel the change already.
Isn't it incredible?
It's wonderful.
Yeah, it really, really is.
Well, Josephine, we have had a couple of messages from
people. Oh, lovely.
The first from Grace was a comment on what you were talking about, self-love, and she is just a brief comment. She wrote, loving ourselves unconditionally, so very true.
Oh.
And then we had a message from Tori, and she writes, hi, most lovely Josephine. I have gone through periods where I meditate in the classic way. What I mean by that is sitting for a period of time every day. It only lasts for a short period because I get bored. As a result, I have meditated in my own ways and not regularly. I have found laying on my bed and tuning into the sensations in my body in deep ways calms my mind, energetic, physical body. I also just sit down sometimes and just pay attention to what I feel and just let it be without trying to change anything. This is the best I've been able to do. The idea of meditating every day as a regular practice sounds good in theory, but I don't have a lot of hope that I will ever be able to do that due to the boredom that arises. Do you have any comments or encouragements about this? One of your beloved Slow Tribe sisters, Tori. P.S. I so admire and feel inspired by hearing your beautiful melodic voice and spirit on the radio. Thank you for sharing yourself in such a way. There we go.
Oh, my goodness, Tori, thank you so much. Right back at you, girl. And, you know, I think that whatever, we are all different. And so whatever is right for you is right for you. And that sounds to me like beautiful meditation that you're doing. And if it's only once or twice a week, no problem. That's absolutely fine. Whatever is just right for you. Sometimes we don't need to do a regular schedule. It's just who we are. But other people really benefit from a regular schedule. So, you know, I think to each his own, because we are all so unique. And I get kind of bored with traditional meditation, too. But I do love doing things like body scans. And, of course, as a medical intuitive, I do that all day. And, you know, just sitting and feeling just who you are, I don't think there's any better meditation than that. Really, just tuning into your own feelings and just being present, just being you. That's, like, the best, I think, in my book. So, like I said, I have a very unorthodox view of meditation. And so I think you're right on, and you're doing the beautiful, beautiful job. And it doesn't have to be regular, necessarily. And you may find, too, that there are times in your life where you do more of it and times in your life when you do less. That's one of the great lessons that my horse taught me, my beloved Duchess. You know, I used to get a little bit worried and fret with guilt if I didn't get out to see her every day or every 3 days or something. And one time I got out there and I just was like, oh, I'm so sorry I haven't been out here in 3 or 4 days, you know, kind of feeling. And she just kind of looked at me like, chill already, you know, it's been fine, I've been meditating. And I thought, you know, what she was telling me really in that moment was, we don't necessarily have to be regular. In fact, regular is not always so great. Depends on who you are. Some people, really, regular is perfect for them, but for others, it's not. And I found that with my horse, there were also times where I would, you know, go for long periods of time where I was there every day or doing whatever, you know, every day. And then there would be periods of time where it wasn't so frequent. And she was perfectly fine with it. And so that helped me to become perfectly fine with it. So you may find also, too, Tori, that there are times where you're doing more of that body scanning and sitting and being and just feeling who you, you know, allowing your feeling sense to rise in you. And then there might be times where you just, you know, it just doesn't occur to you to do it for a while. I think that's perfectly okay. But that's just me. I hope it's you, too.
Well, Josephine, on that subject, when I first tried meditating, this was a very long time ago now, it wasn't a nice experience for me. I had a lot of pain in my legs and back from trying to sit still and not move. And by the end of it, I felt quite exhausted from trying to keep my mind focused on one point for so long, and that was what I thought I was supposed to be doing. I mean, do you have a view of that?
Well, yeah. You know, like I said, traditional meditation can be very beneficial for some people, but we're all different. And so, you know, like that Thich Nhat Hanh exercise or like walking or, you know, whatever makes you, so of course your Alexander work, beautiful for helping you to get out of the pain. And yeah, you know, if something doesn't feel right, like you feel exhausted from trying too hard or focused on one point for too long, that's no fun.
Yeah, I mean, now my idea of meditation is completely different. Now it's much more about allowing things.
Yeah.
And noticing, and it's much more gentle.
Beautiful.
And it is very much, I think, as a consequence of the Alexander work that I've done.
Yeah.
Which is a kind of a meditation. You do have to pay attention to your thoughts and how you're responding to things.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm doing my Alexander thinking, and it's especially true when I'm teaching, I do get all the benefits you described, the deep relaxation, extra energy, less stress, improved breathing, feelings of well-being, etc. It's very, very good.
Yeah, it's wonderful, isn't it?
It's
really fabulous. And
it's a kind of mindfulness meditation.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that whatever you are enjoying is a good thing. So I loved Tori's call so much, or her comment, because, you know, if I was to go out and, you know, somebody would say, okay, now, Josephine, you're going to learn to play tennis. You know, I'm not that particularly fond of the idea of playing tennis. But if it was go swimming in the ocean, oh, yeah, let's go. I'll swim for hours. You know, that'd be really fun. And so I think whatever you really enjoy, I love to let joy be our guide. I love for us to remember joy. So if you can allow yourself to enjoy it, the better you'll get at it, the more you will enjoy your meditation, and the more it will serve you and benefit you. So, you know, and then also, too, I sometimes hear from people, oh, gosh, I'm so sleepy when I meditate. Well, I think take a nap. That's the perfect thing to do. You know, or meditate first thing in the morning, because then it's not going to be so difficult. And that's what my daily practice is pretty short, like 5 minutes first thing in the morning. I do my dream interpretation, and then I just lay there for a few minutes and just do a little, you know, quiet, just watching my thoughts and just being me, kind of like what Tori was talking about, just feeling myself and just being who I am. And I think that's a wonderful practice. But there have been times in my life where I've really gone into deep practice, where I've sat for hours and tried what Tori tried, and I found it a little boring too, but in some ways not. I mean, there were times when I cut myself free and just would travel out into the universe on my little silver cord, and just time would fly. I would have been, you know, many a time I found myself, my gosh, I've been meditating for 2 hours or 3 hours. How did that happen? It seemed like 5 minutes. So it's all relative, but I think that joy and desire are key and really a good point, a good thing to keep in mind with our meditations. Yeah. So, and then also, too, one last little word on caffeine and sugar and all of that, because sometimes we think, oh, gosh, I'm just too sleepy to meditate, or I'm too nap. Maybe I'll have a cup of coffee. So, you know, I think that's sort of like whipping a dead horse. We want to let ourselves rest when it's time for us to rest, and that way we don't burn out our hormonal system so much. And then another little note here, too, on health, which is just that if we have a nice, clean colon and we have a good functioning colon, then we have cleaner blood. And when we have cleaner blood, we tend to have a cleaner mind. And so it helps also, I think, with our meditation to just take care, just general care of our health. That can, and then in turn, then our meditation helps us with our health. So it's a cycle. When we take better care of ourselves, we have a better meditative quality. And then when we have our meditative quality, it comes in and takes care of our health. So that's just a little bit on that. Yeah, and thank you so much for sharing about the Alexander technique, Tony. It's a great thing.
Well, thank you for letting me.
Yeah, sure.
We received another message.
Oh.
This one is from Ina, and he writes, I am an experienced meditator, but not necessarily in a conventional sense a good one. I meditate sitting down, cross-legged, no longer possible. I was born in the year of the monkey, so my monkey brain is strongly chatty. I try to quiet my mind with transcendental meditation, rarely these days, or watching and or counting my breath. The idea is to get the busy ego mind bored so it butts out. Oh, there's a reference to the boredom thing.
Yeah.
So that it butts out. It probably does so because I tend to go unconscious for 45 minutes or so.
Oh, yeah.
This may be because I do my meditation late afternoons when my energy level is low and I need a rest.
Mm.
Sometimes I'm pretty out of it when I come to. I don't know why, but I probably wouldn't be alive without this daily session.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful, Einar. Thank you so much for that lovely comment. And, yeah, why not allow yourself to slip into sleep if you're doing your meditation in the in the afternoon. And, you know, much of the world knows the wisdom of the siesta. I don't know why we've sort of bypassed that. I think it probably has something to do with the military-industrial complex. But, you know, taking a siesta and a rest and a nap in the afternoon is a great idea. And starting it off with meditation, what a perfect way to move into sleep.
Mm.
And as the Dalai Lama said, as I mentioned before, sleep is the best meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really good. Well, thank you for that, Einar.
You mentioned before about the is it Tik?
Thich Nhat Hanh.
Thich Nhat Hanh. It's quite a hard name to say.
Yeah.
That beautiful meditation. Was it breathing in?
I calm my body.
I calm my body. Breathing out.
I smile.
Yeah. That was really, really beautiful and very simple.
Yes.
But if you're sort of like new to meditation, and we talked about this before, the regular thing, for, you know, the average person, I guess there is no average person, but how long would a meditation session, you know, usually last, or and how often would be a good amount to do it?
Well, again, we're all individuals, so some of us might need to really dive in deep into a traditional form of meditation like Zen or transcendental meditation or the Vipassana, perhaps, and just really take up a regular practice where they're sitting for an hour perhaps every day, or an hour three times a week, or whatever works for them, or 20 minutes three times a day. I mean, you could do that too. 20 minutes three times a day might be especially helpful for somebody. And, you know, for me, with my students, when I'm working with folks, I'm perfectly happy if they just start with 5 minutes a day.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really nice, comfortable, easy thing to do. And if that's too much, then just Thich Nhat Hanh's lovely meditation. Breathing in, I calm my body. Breathing out, I smile. And just what does that take? You know, 2 seconds. It's so fast.
Mm-hmm.
And yet has such a beautiful reward, you know, because you really do feel so much better from it, right, immediately afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that 5 minutes daily is a great way to get started if you're not accustomed. And if you find that you like it and it really does something for you that feels like it's you're yearning for more, then follow your joy and do more. And, you know, like I said, there were times where I've done hours and it just slipped right by, and I'm pretty free with myself, so I've loved practicing my meditation sometimes with my stones, and I would lay down. There was this one stone, the sodalite. I had got a nice big chunk of it at Dad's rock shop one day. Dad's used to be in the Rio Grande. It was a beautiful little rock shop, a local store that we had here, but Dad has since retired, and his daughter carried it on for a while, but she's retired now too. And I got this nice piece of sodalite. It's a beautiful blue stone with little white veins in it. And it was sort of shaped like a pyramid. And I would lay back on my meditation table because, for me, sitting wasn't so comfortable since I had that back injury. So I would lie down on my back with a pillow under my head and then my knees bent and my feet flat on the table. And I would usually do this first thing in the morning when my body was still quite fresh, and I'd lay on a massage table. Frank and I invested in a little secondhand massage table, and we still have it to this day. In fact, I'm sitting at it now looking out at Cerro San Luis, and it's a nice place for me to work. I really enjoy having a massage table in our healing room. And so I would lay on this massage table and lie back and put this sodalite chunk on my forehead and then just allow it to just guide me. And one of the things that sodalite does is in its metaphysical properties, is it helps us to increase our vision center. And so with that as a prompt for me, you know, who knows if stones really actually do these things or not. To me, I don't personally care. What matters to me is that I came at it with that intention. I came at the exercise with the intention to allow the stone to help me to open up my vision center. And then my vision center opened, and I began to really free my imagination to move and travel and create and recreate and listen to inspirations and allow inspirations to come to me through the avenue of my clairvoyance. So it was a lovely thing to do. So, you know, whatever works for you is good, I think, and however long is right. And, you know, it might just be taking a walk around the lake and noticing your thoughts. That's fine, too. So sit, lie down, stand up, have some iced tea, whatever works.
But, I mean, the way you describe it, Josephine, when you say that, you know, now, because you've done so much meditation, you're noticing your thoughts all day long,
yeah.
It makes me think as if you're in a kind of like a meditative state pretty much all the time.
Well, I really do feel that I have actually accomplished that. one of the things that happens to people who do spend a lot of time in meditation and who really have embraced meditation in their lives is that we do sort of come to the place where we are meditating all the time. I am noticing my thoughts all day long. They just, you know, they arise and I become aware of them, and I'm aware of which thoughts are coming out of my subconscious mind, you know, out of that protective, dutiful servant, that beloved subconscious mind, and which thoughts are coming out of my higher self, which are my inspirational, joy-filled, you know, the word desire. D means in the Latin roots is of, and sire, like a father, so of the father. And in our theology, of course, we often think of divinity as having a masculine. So the word portrays of the creator. And so desire is that which is coming from our creative aspect of ourselves, from our higher self. So allowing that desire to guide us in our meditations is a really good thing. And so that's why I've enjoyed meditation so much, and why I've been able to really just allow myself to watch my thoughts and to be comfortable with that, and to just notice, you know, if some of the thoughts are about craving or aversion, you know, which the Buddha said that was the cause of all suffering. You know, we can just let our meditation give us the mental control for our psychological and our physical well-being. We can just let those kind of thoughts go and just move on. Well, we had another slide, too, St. Francis de Sales. I meant to ask you for that one when we were talking about reducing stress and busyness in our lives.
Oh, and whilst I'm putting that up, I wanted to let you know, Josephine, that we do have a caller on the line.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, well, then let's have that caller come on right after
okay.
We have this slide here.
I don't have a name, but it's someone from San Luis Obispo.
Oh, great. Okay, and this slide says, it's kind of a joke. I love this one. It says, half an hour's meditation each day is essential, except when you are busy. Then a full hour is needed. St. Francis de Sales.
Fantastic. Okay, well, I'll put the caller on the line then.
Yes, great. Thank you.
Well, welcome to Step Into Magic.
Thank you.
Hi. Who's this?
Hello. This is Loretta from San Luis Obispo.
Oh, hi, Loretta. How are you today?
I'm so well. How are you, Josephine? I love your show and your
beautiful
voice.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so, so much.
I just wanted to call because I had an experience where meditation just made all the difference. I just gave birth to my first child, and it was an amazing, transformative, divine experience, and I credit all of it to meditation. It was essentially painless and invigorating, and I laughed at the very end, and it was just wonderful.
Oh, my gosh, Loretta. Well, please tell us about what meditation did you do?
So I never practiced meditation very regularly prior to getting pregnant, aside from, you know, Shavasana at the end of yoga about three times a week. But I took up about an hour a day. I would do half an hour guided meditation, mindfulness in the morning, and I had a lot of trouble sleeping when I was pregnant, so I would put myself to sleep with a half-hour body scan, and it just got me really used to listening to my thoughts and letting them go and always bringing focus back to the breath and the moment and being aware of sounds and letting them pass by and through. And I totally primed my brain, and when the time came, I used everything that I had learned, and just realizing that whatever I perceive as pain is just a perception of my brain, and it's not. And I did a lot of work also making sure that I stayed relaxed, and so I didn't flood my body with cortisol and stress hormones that would inhibit the flow of all the good, healthy dopamine and oxytocin hormones that help relieve pain during childbirth.
Wow.
So I did a lot, and I just mindfulness. I knew that if there was a painful moment, it was just one moment. Wow. And not to be scared of the future and what future pain might come, and not to let it tense me up. And it didn't. And I laughed the baby right out.
Yay! You laughed the baby right out. That is so great.
So I just wanted to call and tell you that it really, meditation really is so good for you. It's so
isn't
good
this
for
great,
you.
Everybody? Isn't it just wonderful to hear a pain-free birth, or relatively? I mean, that is so great. Talk about your benefits from meditation. Oh, that's so wonderful, Loretta.
Thank you, it was.
Oh, thank you so much for calling. My goodness, this is great.
Oh, thank you for having me, and thank you for sharing all your wonderful knowledge with all of us and your listeners.
Oh, well, right back at you, darling. It was just great. So, so delighted to hear your story.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Yeah.
Cheers.
Bye now.
Bye.
Oh, wasn't that great?
Yeah, that was absolutely fantastic.
Oh,
that's an amazing story.
It really is. How wonderful to just realize. I loved what you said about pain is, you know, just a perception of my brain. And to just realize that it was just one moment and that there was, you know, no need to fear the future, to just let it go and just be present with it, just be mindful with it. And then to relax. I loved that she did the body scanning before falling asleep, because then while in delivery, you know, to just remember to relax the body. What a great thing to do.
Yeah, and it works so well. I mean, I do remember when she was talking that, I remember someone that I knew back in England, she told me that she had used meditation to have a drug-free, she wanted to have a drug-free childbirth.
Wow, that's great.
And she succeeded. I don't think she quite laughed the baby out, but she said that, you know, just by returning to her meditation practice, when the pain was getting intense, she was able just to ride it each time, and she said she was never in any doubt that she wouldn't take any of the drugs that were offered. So it, clearly, this is something that, you know, lots of people should know about. That, you know, what an incredible thing that would be to be able to control, you know, that extreme pain with meditation.
Absolutely,
and clearly people can do it.
Really, really great. Oh, what a wonderful call! I'm so glad Loretta called in.
Ina has written in to give a little follow-up on the siesta idea.
Lovely.
Hello again, Josephine and Tony. I'm pretty sure the siesta comes from regions with warm climates where it is too darn hot to work early to mid-afternoon. That's not the case in Central and Northern Europe. And I think Ina is from Northern Europe.
Oh, yes.
He is. So they don't get siestas there.
But still, there are those warm climates where people have that wisdom. And, you know, why not cuddle up under the furs or step into the igloo or whatever the case may be if you're an Inuit, you know, to just get warm for a little bit in the afternoon and take a little rest. Of course, there in the day of the long, long days, you might want to take a long rest. But in any case, that's great. Thank you, Einar, for writing in about the siesta time.
Thank you.
Yeah, so perhaps we should move on to this last slide then. And thank you to Frank for all of his beautiful, beautiful slides each week. He does such a wonderful job. And this one is a quote from Ram Dass, and Ram Dass is one of my very favorite spiritual mentors and teachers. And he writes, "We are all prisoners of our own mind. This recognition is the first step on the journey of awakening." And, you know, Ram Dass tells a really wonderful story about his experience with meditation. And it was really talking about his psychology, because he said, you know, he was neurotic and had all kinds of hang-ups and concerns, and so he decided to study psychology originally, and then he went on to become a professor of psychology. He was a Freudian originally, and then he got a teaching post at, I think it was Harvard, and then he still found that he still had problems with all of his hang-ups, so he decided to go to Burma, I think it was, and study with real meditators deep in the jungles. And he said that he would, you know, spend 6 months meditating pretty much 20 hours a day, you know, getting up early in the morning and meditating for several hours, and then having a little breakfast break and doing a little work and then going back and meditating in the afternoon. And he would practice breathing in through the left nostril and breathing out through the right with this particular group over here, or maybe over the, with another group they would breathe in through the right nostril and breathe out through the left. And he said, you know, he really worked on himself, and he meditated with real meditators, and he said at the end of that, he did not lose one single neurosis. But he said that the beauty of it was that they just didn't have quite such the stranglehold on him. So that if something like, you know, licentious behavior crept in, he would sort of more like think, oh, there you are, hi, come on in, have a cup of tea. You know, it wasn't such a big deal, which I think is just such a great way to look at it. You know, it just gave him a looser hold on it and helped him to feel more comfortable with himself and to have greater self-acceptance, which, of course, leads to greater self-love.
Yeah.
And so meditation is really fabulous for us in all of those ways.
I mean, that's probably, going back to the beginning of the show, something that I could really benefit from, sort of like enjoying my foibles or my neuroses or whatever they are, whatever you want to call them, rather than being troubled by them.
Yes.
You know, getting to a place where, oh, that again.
Yes, right, right.
That'll be really good.
So I'd like to just do two quick little exercises and give one little homework assignment.
Okay.
All right, so, excuse me, the first exercise is what I call the train meditation. It's a wonderful beginning meditation, and it's, if you all just want to relax for just a moment, get comfortable in your chair. And, of course, if you're driving a car, save this one for later, and or operating machinery. And then if you like, just close your eyes for a minute and allow yourself to think a thought, any one thought. And then just as if you were watching a slow-moving train go by, change that thought to another one. So now you're looking at a different train car going by. Having a different thought. And then that train car has gone by and changed the thought to a different thought. And then change to another thought. And with that, we'll go ahead and bring this meditation to a close. And take a couple of relaxed and easy breaths. And come back to your normal waking consciousness. And so this meditation is called the train meditation. And what it does is it just helps us to get a hold of our thoughts, to just think a different thought. And sometimes we might even have a space there where we're thinking, gosh, I can't really think of anything. That's okay, too. Just think of that like a flatbed car going by. And then another thought will pop in. And the idea with this meditation is to just break up that, you know, tendency that we have in our minds to just grab onto one thought and really hold on to it. So instead, we have to break it up a little bit. Now, you can, if you have a really persistent thought, that's okay. You just let it wait one train car before it comes back again and let one other thought squeak in there in between. And then just noticing, oh, I do have a persistent thought here. Maybe I need to take some sort of action, do some sort of healing here. Maybe I need to do a little forgiveness work here. Or maybe I need to reach for understanding, or maybe there's an apology that I need to make, or something else. So if there's something persistent, that's important information too. And just note it, and then you can go ahead and act accordingly after the meditation is complete, as you feel right in divine timing, of course. And so then the homework exercise that I'd like to give is to just take a moment, and this is, I just loved what Loretta said about having her half hour of mindfulness in the morning and half hour of body scan before sleep. And this can happen in a half an hour's time if you like, or just in a moment, just however long it feels right. But this would be just to have some thoughts of gratitude as a meditation upon awakening and then just before sleeping. So often what I'll do with this particular meditation is I'll think, oh, I'm just so grateful for my hands and my toes and my all of the organs of my body and this comfortable bed that I'm in and this wonderful community that I live in and my darling partner, my wonderful husband, and all of our beautiful trees and plants around us and our cats and our little puppy dog, whatever it is, and just let yourself just roll on that gratitude meditation. Just allowing different things to come into your mind to be grateful for. And that's a wonderful way to start the day and end the day. And then this last exercise is what I kind of look at as allowing our a little space in between the chatter of the mind to allow that higher self to kind of squeeze on in. And that's always a sort of a, when we do get our higher self connection, it's always got a sort of a neutral and compassionate feel to it. And that's really a function of our intuition as well. You know, our intuition and our psychic ability is the result of our connection with our higher self. It doesn't, you know, come first necessarily, it comes second. It's like the development of the spirituality allows the intuition to get stronger. So by allowing ourselves to receive, open up a little space in between our thoughts for our meditation, in our meditation for our higher self to come through, is a wonderful way for us to develop our psychic ability. And so for this particular exercise, if you can just go ahead and pretend right now with me that you've just heard a bird outside, a lovely little bird song, and see if you can listen for that again. And I love this exercise because as we're in that listening spot, there's a little break between our thoughts. Perhaps you noticed that you were just listening. There wasn't really too much thinking going on. And that is sort of like that little opening that we can create with meditation into allowing our higher self to be able to have, to edge in, to have a word, as it were. And so that's another little exercise that I invite you all to practice from time to time, to just stop and just listen for just a moment. And that's what I do in my work as a medical intuitive. I just sit in listening, respectful, you know, silence, just waiting to see what comes through on behalf of the other person that I'm working for and working with, and just allow those higher self impressions to occur to me. So that's a nice exercise for all of us to practice as well.
Well, thank you so much for that, Josephine. It really did work for me just then. It was quite miraculous how just the attending to listening,
yes,
suddenly there was a gap in my train of thoughts and space for something to come through. But unfortunately, one of the things that's come through is the time.
And oh,
we have so little time left. But there is a message from Carl, which I'd love to read out.
Good,
so let me try and do that quickly.
Yes.
Hi, Josephine and Tony. Greetings from a cold and rainy Geelong, Australia.
Oh.
Thanks for the reminder on daily meditation. Having just arrived back to Australia, there are too many stresses and challenges to contend with, and I find myself off-center. You remind me that I need to take some long walks in the mountains, spin some clay pots at a local ceramics lab, and let myself be led by the things I love.
Oh, beautiful,
isn't
Carl.
Lovely?
Thank you for writing that in. How lovely, and absolutely, spinning a pot is a beautiful meditation. Oh,
fantastic. So let me just say that the link to next week's show can be found on Josephine's website at stepintomagic.com. Simply click on the top menu for radio. And if you have a question for us or would be like to be included on our weekly newsletter, simply go to the contact page of Josephine's website again, and it's stepintomagic.com, and you can just send us a message. So, Josephine, any final parting words that you'd like to share?
Oh, yes. Thank you so much for that, Tony. And I'd just like to say that I hope that you can derive as much benefit from meditation as I have. It's one of the cornerstones of a self-actualized life, like I said, along with dream interpretation, prayer, and sanctuary on a foundation of self-love. And it really helps us to develop our psychic ability because it opens a window between our thoughts to allow our impressions to arise. And it helps us to engage that great triple blessing of spirituality, purpose, and psychic ability. So I think of you in Brazil and in Australia and in London and in, you know, areas all around the globe listening, and my heart is one with you, and I'm just so glad to be united with you today on this beautiful subject of meditation. So thank you so much for listening. And in closing, I'd like to finish with this little blessing, which is, as our gifts are given in love, they are received in love. And we honor their wise use and their increase for all concern. Thank you so much for giving me the gift of your time tonight.
Well, thank you so much for that, Josephine. As always, it's been a real pleasure chatting with you on the radio. And I trust that everyone listening has learned lots about the many benefits of meditation. I certainly have. This has been show number M-1.14. And if you've enjoyed our show, we really hope that you will tell your friends. We look forward to having all of you join us again next week when Josephine will be talking about the time-honored meditation techniques.
Tony, and I wish you all insight, wisdom, and magic as you pursue the journey of inner knowing. I hold you all in light and in love. Thank you so much for listening. This is Josephine Lang. Until next week, good night. Thank you.